Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money at
Menards. Welcome into Wednesdays with Walton. In just a moment, I'll visit with Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com. Here's a scoop about Clarkson Eye Care. Did you know Clarkson Eye Care has optical dispensaries in every office? Their trained opticians will help you find the right fit and style from a huge selection of frames, including sports, safety, and sunglasses. Visit ClarksonEyeCare.com to learn more and schedule an appointment today. Let's welcome in Brian Walton of TheCardinalNation.com. Brian, there has been so much movement with the Cardinals. They lost last night. They split the doubleheader a couple of days ago. Well, first of all, how are things going with you?
Hey, things are going great, man. I'm surprised you're able to squeeze in time to talk with me, man. Is there any time since when you were calling other sports, did you do eight games in 5 days?
Never like this. You know, I do remember five games in 3 days. I think a couple of times we had it maybe even 4 days, but not in 3 days. So this is crunching in a lot of baseball. I am a fan, though. I'll say this. I am a fan, and I know you cover the minor leagues big time. I'm a fan of the seven-inning doubleheader. And I got to wonder if Major League Baseball going forward, using this as a test run, is something that they're going to take a liking to in 2021 and beyond.
Well, I'll tell you, there's no doubt that last night's game was tedious, and part of it was because of the two starting pitchers and their deliberate, you know, motions, but moves on the mound. But still, you know, I have to admit, and a lot of folks were talking about it on the message board at the Cardinal Nation, you know, those crisp 2 minute seven, 2 minute 12 games were a joy to watch.
I think, you know, you put a premium then on the 4th, the 5th, the 6th, the 7th, right? I mean, you love. Now, again, these guys, starters, for the most part, certainly with the Cardinals, are not stretched out. Across Major League Baseball, certainly some guys can get through seven innings. So it's different in a normal season. But I like the strategy of those games. I like the crispness of those games. I do think fans would welcome that, especially when you watched what happened last night. There was just no action inside a 4-hour and 7-minute game, and it was just not a good baseball game.
Now, the other side of the coin, of course, is the financial side, and I'm sure some beacon or somewhere is going to calculate how many fewer hot dogs and how many fewer beers are going to sell,
right,
if the, you know, people are in the ballpark less than 2 hours, 2 hours less. So, you know, I don't know how it'll end, but right now, for the, you know, for us, the fans watching the game, I agree that the nice, crisp 7-inning games are nice, and for a Cardinals pitching staff that even Mike Schilt admitted are running on fumes, you know, two fewer innings in each game makes a big difference.
So how do you think it plays into today? There is some roster pressure for the Cardinals. There's a doubleheader. They need somebody to step up today. You got Jack Flaherty. So let's start with the roster. Where's the roster pressure right now?
Well, Austin Gomber, as a lot of folks know, is sort of the 11th COVID IL player, but he never tested positive. They did it based on their contact tracing that he had been exposed, and they were worried that he might come down with the virus. He hasn't. He threw a sign to St. Louis. He threw a sign on Monday. I don't know if it was in St. Louis or in Chicago, but I guess in Chicago. But, you know, the thought was maybe he would be activated for that Monday doubleheader. That didn't happen. But the hope is that he'll be able to pitch that second game today behind Jack Flaherty. But even so, you know, Mike Schilt has been not been willing to announce his game 2 starter until after game 1, because let's say something happens with Flaherty in game 1, you know, he might have to pitch Gomber then if say Flaherty doesn't get out of the first inning for some reason.
Yeah. Where do you see the roster pressure right now too, with the different guys that had to throw over the weekend and the different guys that we've seen already throw in 3 games in 2 days in the north side of Chicago?
Well, the good news is in this year, the Major League Baseball's rules have allowed teams to put more than 40 guys on the 40-man roster. And so they've been able to shift around with a taxi squad and a 29th man for the doubleheader. So you see guys like Ramirez and Crismat and Meisinger and Kaminsky and Cruz and Ricardo Sanchez. But these are guys in a normal season, you know, you just wouldn't see. The Cardinals have already used 24 pitchers this season in 11 games. And that compares to just 23 all last season. So, you know, you can just see all these games in such a compressed time has caused them basically to bring guys up to the major leagues who aren't ready. And you look at their pedigrees and you say that's the case, and you look at the results, and it tends to agree. And it's just unfortunate, but that's the hand that the Cardinals have been dealt with, his schedule and the number of players who are on the COVID IL.
Who has impressed you in these debuts? I love the debut of Elledge against the White Sox. Hard not to, but who else has impressed you with these debuts?
Well, I think Elledge has definitely shown that he's a keeper. Yeah, you know, he gave up a big hit yesterday, but he got out of a tough jam. He gave a couple walks, but you know, he came in with a run in and a guy on third base, and you know, got out of a tough situation. So I think Seth Elledge is definitely a keeper, and he's a guy that's been on our top 40 prospect list. I think Max Schrock is a guy who's really improved his status this year. He's a guy that could always hit for average, but had a lot of injuries last year at Memphis and kind of, you know, started to fade away a bit as other infielders passed him up. But I think we've seen that Schrock play solid defense and, you know, even, you know, showed a little bit of power. So he's another guy that I think is going to stay around. John Nogowski, you know, a guy with an interesting past, you know, was in the Oakland system, got cut loose, had to play an independent ball. John Vooch for the Cardinals found him down there and brought him up. And John Nogowski is another guy who I think, you know, can contribute.
More on John Nogowski in just a moment. Here's a scoop about Clarkson Eye Care. They provide eye exams for the whole family, including kids. Clarkson doctors understand how important it is that every child has their eyes examined. School is here, and that exam begins early, so eyes stay healthy. Get to know the doctors at Clarkson Eye Care. Visit ClarksonEyeCare.com and schedule an appointment today. Check out Clarkson Eye Care for your family's eye care needs as well, including kids of all ages. Visit ClarksonEyeCare.com. Learn more, schedule an appointment today. So John Nogowski, Brian, it's so interesting. He's kind of the anti-MLB player of 2020. We were talking last night. You have three outcomes. You got a strikeout, you got a walk, you got a home run. John Nogowski doesn't hit home runs, and he doesn't strike out, but he will walk. He's a really interesting player.
He really is. And defensively, he is an extremely solid first baseman. Now, they've tried him a little bit in the outfield, but, you know, it's not quite a Matt Adams situation, but comparable. You know, I think it would be an emergency where John Nogowski played. He had to play in the outfield. So he's another guy that really benefits from the designated hitter in 2020 because it gives the team a little more flexibility than just playing the same position that all-world player Paul Goldschmidt plays.
Max Schrock, I'm really enjoying watching him. Now, I thought his spring was okay, Brian. I thought it was better than okay. And then I look, because he's had, what, I think three major league camps with spring. And then you look at summer camp, I thought he was really good. And now he's getting his shot, and he's making the most of it. He's hitting. He's always hit, hasn't he, when he's been in the minor leagues?
Yeah, career 300 minor league hitter. And again, as I said, you know, he had momentum. It kind of looked like he was going to, you know, get himself into the picture last season, and Edmundo Sosa, you know, slipped past him as I said, Schrock dealt with some injuries. But one of the things he did do was he's been a second baseman. His whole career. He also picked up third base, and so he can play that in a pinch. He's probably not a shortstop, but just the ability to play a couple of different positions increases his versatility profile, and he's a guy that I think partially because of Max Schrock's emergence, when Edmundo Sosa is in the first group with Carlos Martinez coming back from COVID, the Cardinals said, hey, Edmundo, you know, go down to Springfield and play yourself into shape. And the implication is, hey, there's no hurry because we kind of got Schrock here. And, you know, along with the fact that Brad Miller can be the backup shortstop behind Edmund. But, you know, the immediate need to bring Edmundo Sosa back isn't the same as it might be to try to get Carlos Martinez as active as quickly as possible.
So what do you think happens when all these guys do come back? The DeYoungs, the Molinas, the list goes on and on. Cody Whitley. And what happens with these guys? They go to satellite camp and just start kind of doing business as usual in terms of playing in, you know, the sim games and things of that nature?
Well, that's an interesting question, Dan. You know, as it was laid out to us by Mo, he said there's kind of a three-step process. First is they have to pass, you know, all the medical tests, which are COVID tests and the heart tests and the whole bit, just to get reinstated by Major League Baseball. Then once they're reinstated by Major League Baseball, they work out at Busch Stadium, do some individualized workouts. Then they go down to satellite camp in Springfield and play in some sim games and kind of work their way up. But, you know, right off the bat, Mo said, well, Carlos Martinez is probably going to be an exception. He may not go down to Springfield because, you know, hey, we need pitching. And you look at Yadi and Paul DeJong, right? I mean, those are guys that are everyday players. They need them in the lineup. They're probably not going to spend a lot of time wasted, not only say wasted, but spend time down in Springfield when they can probably perform at a reasonable major league level right off the bat. So, you know, I think it'll depend on the player coming back. you know, an Austin Dean, for example, when he's ready, and he's not in that first group. But, you know, he's a guy that might go down to Springfield, you know, whereas, like I said, at DeYoung, you know, they may activate him in St. Louis, you know, sometime here during the Cincinnati series.
You've been watching Dylan Carlson a long time. What have you thought of his debut so far?
Well, Dylan Carlson is, you know, you never see any emotion from him, right? He's an even-keeled guy. He understands what he needs to do. He's seeing some breaking pitches. He's being pitched a little differently than he, you know, was pitched in the minors. And so now the game of adjustments begin, right, that we always talk about with these young players. You know, when they pitch to your weaknesses, how do you then turn those weaknesses, neutralize those weaknesses and turn them into strengths? And, you know, Carlson's been having an opportunity, batting like 143, whatever it is. But he's, you know, generally he's taken some pretty good at-bats. And, you know, I think certainly they're going to be patient with Dylan Carlson as they need to. The unfortunate nature, you know, thing is that the Cardinals offense just isn't clicking. And so, you know, there's certainly some pressure. I think one of the games Schilt started him second, you know, in the batting order. You know, that's a lot of pressure on a young guy who's still trying to make his way in the major leagues. And, you know, he hasn't got a home defensively. That's a positive for the team, and they can move him around. But, you know, there's also some amount of, you know, unfamiliarity as you're playing in new ballparks, you know, in left field one day, center and right. And I'm not making excuses for Carlson because I think he'll be just fine over time. But, you know, it's also not surprising that he didn't, you know, come in and hit 400 the first week in the major leagues.
I know fans' frustration at times with some of the moves. For instance, you know, Webb the other day coming in, and he's facing Bodie. He had walked Hayward in front of him, and that was the key, the walk to Hayward, and then Bodie crushes the three-run homer, and that was the difference in game two of the doubleheader. And then over the weekend, you had the young man, Ramirez, gives up four home runs in a row. If you're Mike Schilt, he's just trying to find outs. That's what he's just trying to get through innings. And I don't think fans fully understand that at times, is that this is not a normal season. These guys had been off for 17 days, and some of these guys, you don't know what they have. Some of them are minor leaguers that hadn't been above double A for except a couple of appearances. So it's very, I just think he's, the point I'm trying to make is he's balancing a tightrope here of trying to not only win the game, but protect his players physically and trying to get through the game and then get into a normal semblance of what will be the major league season the rest of the way.
That's right, Dan, and you kind of even have to back it up prior to those outings that you mentioned as examples and say, well, the first time out, you know, you're not going to have guys like Webb, the established major leaguers like Webb and Miller and Gant and Reyes and Gallegos. You're not going to have those guys throw 30 pitches their first time out. So, you know, normally, ideally, you know, some of those other guys in the games prior to those would have pitched a couple innings rather than one. But, I mean, again, this is their first time back after a long time, and they need those guys over the long haul of the season. So, unfortunately, what we've seen, in all honesty, is the Cardinals lose a couple games on this trip into Chicago that with a full-strength roster, they probably would have won. And it's just the unfortunate nature of it. But there's only so many pitchers you have and only so many bullets they have. And, you know, as we saw, you know, last night, you know, he sort of ran out of guys. And so he had to get the unproven guys out there because he's got to play two more, you know, he's got to play 14 more innings today. And he's got to get some, you know, find some way to cobble together enough innings.
Where do you stand on Fernando Tatis Jr. swinging on 3-0 up by 7 and hitting a grand slam? I'm just curious.
I think it's much to do about nothing. And unfortunately, you know, I get where the Rangers manager came from. And, you know, he said, well, you know, it's not the way that I was brought up, but, you know, maybe it's the way it is. But, you know, his own manager, Tatis's manager, Tingler, you know, didn't stand up for his guy. And that was something that concerned me a bit. In terms of Tatis himself, you know, if he ignored a sign, then, you know, shame on him. But that's something they deal with internally. As far as, you know, trying to score runs in a baseball game, I think folks need to grow up. Anybody who's concerned about that need to grow up and you know, you need to pitch better and that kind of stuff won't happen. So, you know, I think it's caused a lot of focus on baseball's unwritten rules. And, you know, there aren't many people out there defending them at this point in time. It seems to be something that I commented on this the other day, probably one of the first topics in the history of social media where almost everybody seems to agree that this is much to do about nothing.
Yeah, it's nice to talk actual baseball, too. I kind of like that.
Yeah, how about that, huh?
Yeah, something on the field. I'll wrap it up with this. I'm assuming you enjoyed all the nicknames of the minor league affiliates last night on the telecast, so that's right up your alley.
Dan, I was really, really impressed, and I don't know, maybe you look this up. You'll have to come clean on this one, but that you knew what a sod poodle was. Now, my wife is from Amarillo originally, so, you know, I do have a little bit of familiarity with that. But for you to know that that was a reference to a prairie dog, I was highly impressed.
I did. I actually follow, as you know, I'm a baseball nerd. I love it. I follow the minor leagues. I watch minor league baseball, have the app, watch the games, enjoy it. Love watching minor league baseball. So I want to see minor league baseball back. Obviously, we're not going to have it this year. So I'm looking forward to 2021. So where are the negotiations? I've been reading a little bit about it, that there has been some movement one way or another with Major League Baseball. Where are we at right now with minor league baseball?
Well, unfortunately, what's happened in recent days, and Baseball America has really been on top of this, but they haven't sat, the two negotiating teams, Major League Baseball and Minor League Baseball, haven't sat down at a table to discuss this in literally months. And Minor League Baseball has, there's been sort of a civil war that's erupted within their ranks, because you sort of have the haves and the have-nots. And what I mean, the haves are the full-season minor league owners who realize they're going to be part of the 120 teams that continue to survive. And then you've got the have-nots, which are the owners of the short-season teams that they know they're going to be the ones, the 42 teams that are going to be cut. And so, you know, their motivations are very different. You know, the high-end owners can see that, hey, Major League Baseball is going to win this battle. One of two things is going to happen. Either Minor League Baseball will continue in a structure like it is today with a president and a group down in St. Petersburg, Florida, or Major League Baseball will just say, no, I'm not going to sign a new agreement with you, and I, Major League Baseball, will establish my own minor league administration. And, you know, some of those high-end team owners realize they can see who's going to win this battle.
Sure.
It's just a matter of how. And they see some potential financial advantage with Major League Baseball, for example, by having a longer-term operating agreement. Now, right now, most minor league operating agreements are only 2 years, so owners don't know, you know, beyond 2 years which organization they're going to be affiliated with. So Major League Baseball is, you know, providing some potential incentives both there and financially for some of the you know, current minor league owners, and they seem to like that.
It's interesting. Really interesting. Hey, Brian, always great stuff. What are you working on at thecardinalnation.com?
Well, I spent a lot of time looking at rosters, not only at the guys that are currently on the rosters, and we're documenting, of course, all the moves that are being made, but I've also talked a little bit about some rumors about maybe expanding the 60-man pool to 75, and also looking at what happens when all the COVID players come back, which of the guys, nine guys that have been added to the roster might lose their 40-man roster spot. So lots of good stuff to read about kind of the stuff that's going on behind the scenes, as well as our daily recaps of all the games.
That's Brian Walton. You hear him every Wednesday.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money.